There's some things that just between me and him. Sometimes I'll be preaching a meeting, Brother Jones, and if I could ever tell them what's going on between me and him, we'd probably have revival. But sometimes I just, there's some things it's just, I guess, so holy, you just don't want to say a whole lot about it sometimes. Afraid you'll mess it up. The Lord's been so good to me. And I don't even know where to start. I wouldn't know if I started today to tell you about how good God's been, I'd be here from now throughout all of eternity. And the Lord's just been very, very good to me. And I have no complaints. You say you had hard times, Brother David? Always been a few, I guess. But he's made them awful, awful sweet. And I was talking to him one day, and it was a rough time in my life at the time, and things going on, didn't understand all of it. People not understanding you and talking about you and running you down and everything else. And then you kind of hit a low place in life, and it seemed like everybody sometimes jumps on. And I was sitting out on my porch talking to him one day. We was maybe halfway through it. He said, "You'd never know me like you know me now if I hadn't brought you through this." I said, "Lord, I don't like the trials. I don't like the trouble. I don't like the battle, the temptations, the struggles. I don't like none of that. But I like knowing you like these." And so I told the Lord and tell him now on a regular basis. I said, "Lord, I don't want to go through trials and troubles and battles. I don't look for them." But Brother Neil, I just told him, said, "But if it'll make me know you better, if it'll give me sweet fellowship with you, I'll just go through whatever you got for me to go through." Amen. And I sure do thank him for being mindful of me. Look at 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. And I'm going to try to preach this morning if I can. If I can't, I'll just cry and testify a little bit and sit down. 1 Kings chapter number 19. First Kings 19. If you'll find your place in 1 Kings 19 and then find your place in 2 Kings chapter number 2. Elijah has been on a great mission. And he's got to the place where he thinks really he's the only one that God's got left. God lets him know that that ain't the case. God has to remind me of that sometimes. But verse number 19, "So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him and left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee.' He said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' He turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose, went after Elijah and ministered unto him." And then in 2 Kings chapter number 2 and verse number 12, here in this text, Elisha and Elijah have been traveling together. He has been training Elisha in the room of the prophet, what God told him to do. And Elisha has a strong, strong desire that he wants something from this man of God. And he said, if you see me when we're parted, he said, what you want, you'll receive. But if you don't see me when we're parted, he said, if you don't see me when I'm gone, he said, you're not going to receive it. Then verse number 12, the Bible said, and Elisha saw it and cried, my father, and the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Our Father, as we bow before you today, we come to you humbly as we know how, thanking you for the privilege to preach the Word of God. I thank you for this blessed old book. Thank you, Lord, for the precious Spirit of God that we have felt here this morning. I pray, God, that you'd use the Word of God now to speak to the heart of your people. Magnify your name above everything else, Lord. That's all I'm interested in. I'm interested in you getting glory and honor for everything that's done here today. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. You may be seated. Here in this text, a very familiar text to most of us, if we have read much of our Bible, if we'd studied our Bible and been saved very long, here is a very familiar text, one that no doubt many men of God down through the years have preached out of, and God's used it in my life down through the years hearing men of God preach and talk about the mantle of Elijah, passing on the mantle from one generation to the next. But today I want to look at this just a little bit different. I've not got a big, deep theological truth that I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you something that will help you walk day by day, I believe, if you'll listen to what I have to say. I was reading my Bible as I was going through my Bible reading, and my wife and I were going through our Bible reading, and I came to the book of 1 Kings and then came to the book of 2 Kings as I finished up the story of Elijah and Elisha, and I read this text that I've read in your hearing today where Elisha came back to the River Jordan, and he said at the River Jordan, the Bible said, he picked up the mantle of Elijah and he went to the River Jordan. And when he got to the River Jordan, the Bible said he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I was reading that one day, sitting in my recliner there in the living room, and Brother Neil, God stopped me dead in my tracks, and this is what he said. He said, you read that too fast. So I went back and I thought, well, I'll slow down and I'll read it again. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? God said, you're still reading too fast. And then I began to read this text and I said, Lord, I don't understand what you're saying to me. You're just going to have to spell it out for me. I'm so ignorant, I don't know what you're saying. He said, you need to stop and read that text for what it says and not what you think it says. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And God said, Elisha was interested in a lot of things, but the main thing that he needed to be interested in was the statement that he made, and that is, where is the Lord? Where is he at? Elisha was a man of many talents. He was a man who was appointed by God. He was a legitimate man. He was a man of labor. The Bible said that when Elijah found this man Elisha, he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen and he with the 12. And I'm not a scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but Brother Jones, the way I read that is this, is that when he was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen, that he was in the harness with them, plowing with those oxen, and he with the 12th yoke of oxen. He had wore out all those yoke of oxen and they wasn't getting the job done. And Elisha said, we've got to get this done. And if it's going to be done, I'm going to have to get involved in the work to do it. He was a man of labor, and I want to say this to you this morning. I'm not necessarily preaching to men of God. I'm preaching to the people of God, but I want you to know God never has used lazy people. We are eat up in this generation that we live in with laziness. People in this generation think that society and that God owes them something. God owes you nothing but judgment. If we got what we deserved, we would get the judgment of God. We'd never receive His mercy. We'd never receive His grace. But this generation is eat up with laziness. I'm afraid that the day and hour in which we live, many men have entered into the ministry because they simply do not want to work a job. I can't even understand that. I don't understand taking this upon yourself. You doing this because it's something you feel like you want to do. Listen, when God called me to preach, I wanted to do whatever God wanted, Brother Neil, but the last thing I wanted to do was be a preacher, amen. I wasn't looking to be a preacher. I wanted to be God's man. I said, God, if you'll leave me alone, I'll raise my family, I'll pay my tithes, I'll be a good church member, I'll be faithful. I don't want to preach the gospel. God said, well, you can do all of that if you want to, but you won't be right with me if you do it. And I said, well, Lord, that's important to me, so I'm going to do what you want me to do. So that's what I've been trying to do for 20 some odd years. But he was a man of love. In verse number 20, he said, let me go and see my parents for just a little bit, Elijah. But he was a man of loyalty. The Bible said he slew a yoke of oxen. He slew them and he offered them to God. This is what he was saying. He said, this is what I've done in the past, but I'm done with it. Are you listening to me? When God, listen, I'm not talking about being in the, necessarily just being in the ministry, but when God puts His hand on your life to use you for His honor and for His glory, He becomes number one and there is no second place. God, listen, God's not looking to be, Brother Ken, number one in your life over whatever else you've got in line. Whether it be hunting, whether it be fishing, whether it be a job, whether it be your family, God's not looking to be number one over that. God's looking to be number one, period. And He wants nothing in second place. He wants nothing distracting you, nothing pulling your attention away. He wants it all. And Elisha was concerned about some things. Elisha, as the servant of God, was concerned, number one, he was concerned about the mission that Elijah was on. See, Elijah had a mission. What was that? He was the prophet of God. God was going to use him to bring in the next king, the next prophet, and the nation of Israel to set their order so that they could serve God in years to come. And Elisha was concerned about that. Elisha was also concerned about the mantle. He was concerned about the mantle that Elijah had. He said, I want a double portion of whatever you got. And you know what Elisha thought it was? He thought it was his mantle. You know what that mantle was? It was an outward clothing. It was an outward garment that was wrapped around him. He used it like a scarf, like we would use a scarf, or like we would use an overcoat. And I remember as a young man, as a young preacher, I remember going to meetings and seeing men preach with a touch, Brother Wayne, and the power of God on them. And I'd say, Lord, I'd hear preaching about receiving that mantle. I said, Lord, I don't know if I want that mantle. I'd see men of God preaching. I'd say, Lord, I don't know if that's the mantle that I want. And I was looking, Brother Jones, and trying to find what mantle is that you want me to have. I've seen ladies have a spirit of worship and have a mantle on them, and I have seen them die and God placed that on other ladies. You say, were they in ministry? Well, you wouldn't call them a preacher. We don't believe that. But we do believe that God uses women. Praise God. I thank God for the testimonies we've heard this morning. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is that God may have a mantle for you. God may have a power, a position that He wants you to fulfill. And you need to be concerned about that. And Elisha was, but that's not the most important thing. It wasn't the most important thing, Brother Jones. The mantle wasn't the most important thing in Elisha's life. So this is what I want to preach on today, if God will help me. I want to preach on somewhere between the fire and the water. Somewhere between the fire and the water. Here is a man of God by the name of Elisha who is following a man of God by the name of Elijah.
Elisha's claim to fame is this. He poured hands, even after Elijah was dead. They said, who is this Elisha? It is a man who poured water on the hands of Elijah. He was known as a servant. He wasn't exalted up. He was known as a servant. Even after Elijah was dead, he was known as a servant. But he had thinking wrong in his head. You know what he wanted? He wanted the mantle. He was concerned about the mission. He was concerned about the man. All of those things are important. But you better listen well. God is not concerned about you having somebody's mantle. You listening to me? He wants you to be concerned about your man of God. He wants you to be concerned about the people who are in authority in your life. He wants that. But that's not most important to him. He came down to a place where God said, I'm going to take Elijah away from you, Elisha. And when I do, I'm going to do it by a trial of fire. And I'm going to put you on the other side of the water. And when he got on the other side of the Jordan River, God sent a chariot of fire and split them apart and took Elijah up. And that fire represents the greatest loss of his life. And so this is what God is interested in. God is not interested in so much you having the mantle, even though that's important. He's not so much interested in the mission, even though that's important. He's not so much interested in the man, even though that is important. What God's worried about is you getting to the place where the Lord is more important than the mantle, he's more important than the mission, and he's more important than the man. God is going to see to it in every child of God's life that he is going to bring you to a place where everything you think is important besides him, you will lay it aside. You will see that he is all important in your life. And Elijah said, where is the Lord? When he got the Lord in the right place, the mantle, the man, and the mission took care of itself. But where are you going to find the Lord? I'll tell you where Elisha found him. The greatest, Brother Wayne, loss of his life was Elijah being taken up. And God will put you in a place where you will suffer the greatest loss that you think you could ever suffer. He will put you in a place that will hurt you so bad that it will absolutely feel like it's going to break your soul clean into. God will put you in a place where you'll be broken to a place that nobody can fix you. Service can't fix you. A meeting can't fix you. The preacher can't fix you. The only one who can fix you is God. And he is the one who desires to be exalted in your life and in mine. He couldn't figure it out. He's worried about the mission, the man, the mantle. But God brings him to a place of great trial and affliction. I was here just a number of years ago, I guess 8, 9, 10 years ago. I don't know how long ago it's been. Seems like it's been forever now. I'd raised my children. I'd tried to do right, Brother Steve. I tried to raise them right. I tried to teach them right. I tried to live right before them. I tried to be real before them. That boy turned 18 years old, and he said, I'm out of here. Brother Bill, that boy left. And me and his mama had poured every ounce of our life into him. I ain't talking about left and we heard from him every other week. He's gone for 8 years. Somewhere thereabouts, Brother Neil, about 8 years he's gone, and we might have heard from him half a dozen times. Brother Jones, and I called preachers. I called Brother Jones and talked with him. I said, preacher, I don't even feel like I'm qualified to preach. I said, I'm trying to do right. I'm supposed to preach at a meeting for him. I said, I don't even feel like I deserve to be in the pulpit. How in the world can I instruct the people of God? I can't even give my own children to live for God. Amen. He didn't do it on my dime. And I want to tell you what happened, Brother Wayne. God started breaking me. Breaking me and breaking me and breaking me. Me and that little old girl that I'd married and been in love with all these years sit on the front porch of our house and cry and weep, quote scripture back and forth to one another saying, God, we don't understand. And I didn't understand. I'll tell you what happened. There came a day, praise God, when God spoke to my heart and God had broke me so bad, I knew nobody could help me but Him. I appreciated my preacher friends, and I appreciated my family, and I appreciated my church, and I appreciated my pastor. But I'll tell you something, Brother Neil, I was broke in such a deep place, they couldn't touch that. The fire of trials and temptations had brought me to a place that nobody could help me but God. But God didn't let up. God said, you still got something you got to do. He said, I've called you on a mission, and here's a mission for you to do. So Elijah's standing there. Elijah's gone. He's got the mantle. And he walks back, but before he can ever do what God wants him to do, there's a body of water between him and the will of God. And God's going to bring you to a place where He will break you in such a deep place in your soul that you'll know that He is the only one who can fix it. And then He's going to give you a job to do that is going to be fraught with hindrances and impossibilities. He's going to bring you to a place when it's time for you to do the will of God and perform what God has given you to do, that He's going to bring you to a place He's broken you and you cannot do it. So I got to a place, Brother Jones, where I said, Lord, I can't. Can't nobody fix me but you. And then He gave me a task to do that was absolutely impossible. And Brother Ken, this is what I knew. I knew that the mantle wasn't going to help me. I knew that the mission wasn't going to help me. And I knew that the man wasn't going to help me. There was only one that could, and that was the Lord. And Elijah, before he comes up to the... Somebody said, well, he smote the water and then called. But if you read the entire text, he called and then smote the water. He goes back and reverses what he said to begin with. He called on the name of the Lord and he said, where is the Lord? You know what we want? We want His power. We want His ability to do miracles. We want His friendship. Nothing wrong. All that's great stuff. We want His presence. But Brother Milby, the day now in which we live, ain't many folk really, really too concerned about His person. You understand what I'm saying to you? God is interested in you knowing Him. That's what he said, Paul said, Philippians 3:10. After to serve God for all them years, Brother Pace, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His suffering. Listen, God is interested, Brother Neil, in us getting to know Him personally. He wants you to fellowship with Him on a personal level, an intimate level. And God will do whatever it takes in your life to get you to a place where you will fellowship with Him and it'll be enough. I love this little woman. I've been married to this woman for 30 plus years, Brother Pace, and I love her. But I got to have him more than I got to have her. There's times she don't understand. There's times she can't figure out what's going on. I was coming home the other day from work. I've been working over here in the Elizabethtown. And I was coming back up Highway 86, and I was just talking with the Lord in that old truck of mine. And I was coming up through there, and God got the blessing in my heart. I got to rejoicing and crying and trying to stay between the ditches. Amen. And the Lord said, now, when you get home, he said, you just hop out of that truck and you go shouting and running around your house on the outside. I've had two knee surgeries. And I said, Lord, I don't know if I can run around the house or not. The Lord said, well, I let Elijah run in front of a chariot, run down that mountain in front of a chariot. He said, I'd probably help you. I said, well, Lord, I don't know if I can run around the house or not, but if you'll help me, I'll run. Amen. And Brother Jones, I got out of that truck, Brother Wayne, and I went running around the house with my hands up in the air shouting, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. And I made it. I went in the door. My wife was standing at the kitchen counter working on something at the kitchen counter in the kitchen. I run in the door, opened the door, and I said, glory, hallelujah, bless his name. She looked up at me like she said, that's what happened. But then she knowed what happened. I wouldn't have known him like that. But maybe if he hadn't broke me, he'll have to break me again. We're so stiff-necked and stubborn that it's hard for us to stay broken. So he spends our entire life, Brother Neil, keeping us broke down. Well, we know we need him. Do you know you need him? I mean, do you know that if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't take your next breath? Hey, listen, I quit worrying about power to preach. I quit worrying about power to do the will of God. I quit worrying about what the mission was. I got concerned about him. And Brother Wayne, you know what I found out? All that stuff started taking care of itself. He said, where is the Lord? And then he smote that river, buddy, and the water parted. He was worried about a double portion. God said, I'll give you that. If you'll get me in the right place, I'll give you that. Brother Jenkins, if we will get God on the throne of our heart where he should be, he can trust you with anything. He can trust you with anything. We've let this crazy charismatic crowd scare us to death. And we're afraid we're going to be called something besides Baptist if we believe God. We had a prayer meeting at my house the other night, and I gave a devotion. The Bible said he was a man subject to like passions as we are, and yet he prayed earnestly, and it rained not. And it rained not. I said, can God still quit making it rain? Brother Jones, can God make it rain? We're afraid to ask him because we're afraid if he does it, we'll be classified as something. You know what I want to be classified as? God's child, God's man. I want to be able to, Brother Wayne, I want to be able to ask him anything. And expect him to hear every word I got to say. And if it's according to his will, him answer it. We're afraid. Because we have shrunk him down to a little bitty, tiny God. But he is the God of all heaven and earth. He's the God of this universe. And there ain't nothing you can lay before him that he cannot do. That boy came back Me and his mama prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. It didn't seem like God was hearing our prayer. But every once in a while, out of the middle of nowhere, I was down in South Carolina, down on the coast, preaching a meeting. 4 o'clock in the morning, one morning he called up. He is crying. He'd been gone about 3 years. He said, "I know you and Mama think all them verses you made me memorize, I'd never think of them." He said, "But every night when I go to bed, they're running through my mind." Click. I just rolled over at 4 o'clock in the morning. I rolled over and I laid the phone back down. My wife said, "What's wrong?" I said, "God's working on him." I said, "God's working on him, amen." "What are you saying, Brother David?" "I'm saying when the Lord got in the right place, he could trust me with anything." You know, God, you believe this or not, but God will tell you stuff. I've been raised most of my life believing God didn't say nothing. And I understand he speaks through that book, and I thank God for that, and I don't place nothing above that. I'm going to tell you something. God will speak to you and tell you stuff if you'll fellowship with him. He'll talk with you. I mean, I don't necessarily hear an audible voice. Sometimes I think I have. But buddy, it's more real than that sometimes. I'll be laying there in the bed at night and 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I hear a still small voice, Brother Joe, and I'm dead asleep, and I'm wide awake. Is that him? Is that him whom my soul loveth? Is that him? Is that him? Get off! He's been by me. I can smell him. I can sense him. I can taste him. Does that scare you? I'm telling you, Brother Wayne, you talk about walking, running down the road when I was down there preaching for you. We drove up through there, and one day I said, "We missed a chance to fellowship with him today." He ain't always right there. He ain't always right where I can feel him. I don't live by my feelings. Boy, I like it when I do feel him. And if I do, Brother Jenkins, I want to be careful to take time and say, "Lord, that's you. I'm not worthy of you to come by my place. I don't deserve, God, to feel your presence. But I'm going to stop and enjoy it while you're here." You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever got so hungry for him that nothing else mattered? You got loved ones that's lost and undone without God, and you serve God because you're afraid if you don't serve God, that God will never save them. Nothing wrong with the fear of the Lord. Oh, but there's a... Why don't you snuggle up next to him and just tell him all your worries and cares and let him speak peace to your soul and watch him move obstacles. You know where you find that at? The place you don't want to be. Between the fire and the water. We want to know him, but we don't want to go through what it takes for our wicked, sinful, ungodly flesh to know him. We want to know him, but we don't want to do the one thing this morning. It's in your mind. It's just clicking through your mind right now. Lord, I could never do that. I could never lay that aside. I could never get you exalted above this one, that thing right there. That's what's keeping him and you from having an intimate fellowship together. And if you let it, it'll keep you right where you're at for the rest of your life. And you'll go to the judgment seat barren. Having been saved, but not ever really knowing it. Sometimes you just get to the end of words. God was concerned about Elijah, knowing it was the Lord and him alone. When the Lord is in the right place, Elijah don't look like much. Listen to me. When you've got the Lord and you're submitted to His rightful rule in your life, the mantle don't look like a whole lot. He is so important that all that other stuff just fades, Brother Wayne, into the background. It's just a benefit. But the benefit only comes by knowing Him and fellowshipping with Him, and Him being ruler in your life. If you want to run it, God will let you. Up until this day, you could have said, Brother David, I didn't know all that. And I could maybe believe that. But Brother Neil, the thing about preaching is this. Preaching is not teaching. Teaching will present you a set of facts and let you make a decision. Well, maybe I'll go that way, maybe I won't. Preaching don't do that. Preaching is a cutting. It brings you to a place where you will say yea or nay, and today you are saying that. Today you're saying, I will not go that far. Or today you're saying, I will. Preaching leaves no wiggle room. None. It always works every time. It will do one of two things. It will soften you or harden you. It'll draw you or push you. But it does it every time. And I'll ask you a question today as we close. Do you want to know really, I'm talking about really know God? Are you willing for Him to break you in a place that is so deeply broken that nobody can touch it but Him? So that you can know Him in a way that you would never be able to know Him. That boy called me from California. This is what he said. He said, Daddy, can I come home? I was driving back from a meeting, coming up the road. It's unusual, Brother Milby. If he ever did call, he'd talk maybe 2 or 3 minutes and be off the phone. He talked for 30 minutes on that phone. He said, Daddy, can I come home? I said, well, son, ain't not one thing changed since you left. And you know the rules. You can come home, but the rules ain't changed. He said, I know what they are, Daddy, and I ain't got a problem with that. I got off the phone with him, and he said, can you meet me at Cincinnati or whatever it is up there around Cincinnati, somewhere at a little airport up there? I said, well, yeah, I'll be up there at 8:30 in the morning to pick you up. And I went up there and picked him up, and he didn't look like he did when he left. The world don't ever leave you looking like you do when you leave. He sat down in my car. He looked pretty rough, I'll be honest with you. But he started talking and something was different. I got home, I told my wife, I said, I don't know what's different. Something's different. His attitude's completely different. He was at church. He'd been at home about 2 weeks and was at church. Boy, I mean, we had a real good meeting. We had a little boy. We got back here in the prayer room. That little boy got saved by the grace of God. I mean, conviction just fell in that prayer room, and he got saved. And another boy, little old boy, 12, 13 years old, run down the altar and got saved. His mom was shouting. I looked over there, and my boy was just weeping and crying. I thought, well, you know, because I don't know. I said, Lord, just whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. He stood up and testified, Brother Jones. He said, I can't enjoy really what's going on here tonight because I ain't told what the Lord done for me. He said a bunch of other stuff after that, but I don't remember what it was, amen, exactly. But I do remember this much of it, Brother Wayne. He said, I wasn't going to say nothing because I wanted to prove to everybody that I could live it. That the Lord had really done something in my heart. He said, but I can't stand it no more. He said, I got on that plane coming back from California. He said, I stand out there on the edge of that ocean one day. He said, and God brought back to my mind, John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. He said, I sat there and I thought to myself, you know, I mean, a smart boy, intellectually, I mean, he's very smart. Just unbelievable, the intellect the boy has. But he said, I ain't done one thing that I set out to do. He said, God spoke to my heart and said, you know what's wrong? You're not free. He said, you know what? I'm not free. He said, I got on that plane coming back from California. I sat back here on the back of that plane. He said, God just was ringing me out. He said, I didn't know what to do. He said, but all I could remember, Daddy, was you saying, if you'll just give him your all, give it all to him, you'll do what needs to be done. He said, right there on that plane, I just said, Lord, I'm yours. He said, I don't know how to explain it, but it changed everything. He come down to our center working in the shop. He come walking down in the shop one day, just tears are rolling down his face. He said, Daddy, I've been reading the book of James. He said, I memorized this when I was a boy. He said, but I can't believe I knew all this scripture and missed all this truth. I said, that's the way it works. I can't explain it either, but that's just the way it works. I've been broken a whole lot more places than that. I'll be broken a whole lot more places before the journey's over, Brother Wayne. But every broken bone in a body that heals is stronger at that point than anywhere else in that bone. I was a welder. I've done welding for a living. This is what I know. I don't know a ton about welding. I know enough to make me dangerous and get a job doing it. But I get through welding two pieces of metal together. You may break it and tear it in 1,000 places, but if my welding's right, you'll never break it there. And the devil may tear you up in 1,000 different places in your life, but the place God fixes you and God welds you back together will be stronger than anywhere else. I don't mean he won't try. That boy preached last night, last April, God called him to preach. He preached last night in the jail, Brother Jenkins. I got a grandbaby on the way. You know how many nights I laid in bed and the devil said, you'll never have have a grandchild. But God's gave me a grandbaby, amen. It's on the way. Be here in November. God, hey, had a little old girl of mine got married just a few weeks ago. Married a good boy. Seems to love the Lord. We thank God for that. He was up shouting a victory the other night in church. I told my wife, I said, you know how blessed we are. What are you saying, Brother David? I'm saying that God can trust you with anything after he breaks you to the place that you know that he's everything. Do you know that today? Would you submit him yourself to his will and allow him to do in your life what needs to be done so you can know him as the Lord? Father, as we bow before you today, Lord, I'm not even sure I understand everything. I know I don't. But this one thing I know, I wouldn't know you like I know you had not it been for the hard places in life. Lord, help us not to fight them, but to submit ourselves to them, that your will might be done. Let us get to know you, Lord, like we've never known you. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' wonderful, holy, exalted name, we ask it all.